thinking in line of working with young people, one of the biggest challenges that I always see is the decisions that they have to make, decision-making and the choices they have to make. It's tough. It's really hard for them. Even our strong Christian kids, there are always decisions that they have to make, and it's never easy because we all want life to be easy, right? We all want life to go the way we want. We want to succeed in everything we do, and we just want things to go our way, right? Or am I the only one? Oh, okay. It works better if it goes my way because I don't have to stress and do all this stuff, but that's not how it works, right? And sometimes it's hard to decide what's the best thing to do, and we all, like I said, want to choose the easiest way. But in Matthew 7, Jesus talks about a wise man, and we find it hard to make decisions. I just said that we want young people to make informed life choices and good decisions. But Jesus, in Matthew 7, he talks about a wise man. Then let me just quickly get 7 to 24, verse 24 to 27. Greg, you can put it up on the screen, but I'm just, you can see. He has this conversation. This is Jesus speaking. He tells the story about making good decisions, right? And Jesus knew that there were forces and difficulties and pressures of life that we all have to deal with all the time. And, we can get pretty confused on how to, which way to go, right? Amen? There we go. And he said that if people listen, in this scripture, he says, if people listen to his teaching and if people obey what he says, they will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock, right? And when a rain comes and the land floods, a house on the rock will stand strong and the people inside will be safe. So there was a time, Sean, when I worked on a construction site, believe it or not, in South Africa, and we had to put up these concrete fences, okay? So these big poles that you carry, and then you have the slabs that you have to slide in. I don't know, do we have those ones here? Maybe not. So the first day I came on site, I said to the guy, how deep am I supposed to make this hole? Because I just want to make one, and then I put the pole. He said, nah, you take the spade, you dug a hole, you dig it, and then you make sure that the spade is level with the ground. That's how deep we want it to be. And that's proper. I'm like, what? Yeah, we need 20 holes. That's a day's work. So that was tough. But you make that hole, and you take that pole, you put it in, and then you come with the cement and the concrete, and they put it around. 2 days later, you can't move that thing. Do what you want. That thing will not move, right? So I'm thinking of that story. If it says, what does it mean to build on a rock? Well, to build on a rock means to be hearing and be a hearing and a responding disciple, not the phony, superficial one. So in other words, everything that Jesus says, he's guiding us, he tells us, you have to apply it, right? So practicing the obedience of this word becomes a solid foundation for your life. So we are very comfortable with reading scriptures, which we should. Don't ever stop reading it. But we're comfortable to quoting scriptures, which we should. But we should apply it, because that is what makes the difference in our lives. When we have to make decisions, when we apply the scripture, that's what's going to make the difference. All right. But if we ignore what Jesus says here in this verse, and you don't follow his example, you'll be like a man who builds his house on sand. It's just like making that big hole, like I just told you, and I'll put it in and just fill it up with sand. It's crazy. In South Africa, I lived in a shack. Do you know what a shack is? For 5 years, I lived in a shack. I'll share with you again. Those of you who know the story. It's a corrugated kind of, it's a house built out of corrugated plate, all right? And some of those houses in a township, if you don't have a solid foundation, in the winter months, those things, they blow away. You get all those plates, they rip the roof off or anything like that. And we see in some families, actually, in bad winter months, it rips that entire structure away and you're homeless, you know? And you have to rebuild on a good day when the sun, and that's pretty much what it is. And if I get that image when I think of you reading but don't applying, so your decisions are not going to be solid. You're going to make some really dumb decisions if you don't apply the Word of God to your life and the things that you are going through, right? But if people ignore what Jesus says and they don't follow his example, they'll be like a man whose house is built on the sand. I just said that right. So what decisions are you making today, young people? I work with you every week, and we talk, we have conversations, and adults as well, not so young people. You have a lot of decisions to make, and we know that it's always hard for you to do the right thing. Amen? Okay, so I'm not off. But the question is, what do you want God to do? What is it that God wants you to do? Okay, so I'm going to go to another scripture just to unpack a portion here with you, and I promise that I have a little more time. This is in Proverbs 2, because Jesus talks about building on a rock, about making good decisions, but yet you'll come back and say, yeah, but I don't always know how to do that. Okay, in this scripture, I have the NIV version, and that's the ESV. But I'm going to say, wherever you see my son, you see there? Wherever you see my son, can you put your own name there? Jordan, do you want to join me for 2 minutes? I'm not going to let you. I just want to speak to you. Is that okay? So I'm going to say my son, and I'm going to put Jordan in there. Okay? So Jordan, if you accept my words, this is Jesus speaking, and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you, Jordan, you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright, and he is a shield to those who walk blameless. For he guards the cause of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you, Jordan, you, right, will understand what is right and just and fair every good path. Thank you, Jordan. Give him a hand. Listen, I love this guy. So what I'm learning is, yes, Lord, so I want to follow your will. And I want to do the right thing, and I want to make good decisions, because I want to build on the rock, and I want the solid foundation so that my house don't blow away, Lord. Okay? So this is the word of the Lord. What we do, we study the scripture, and that is called, we learn it, right? We learn it. But learning it, do you know, Sean, that that's just for sometimes short-term gain? If you just kind of read the story and you go through it, it's, you know. But if you take the scripture and you remember it, and you store it away for a later time, that becomes knowledge, okay? So we have learning, and we have knowledge, okay? And then knowing a good and appropriate time of when to apply that knowledge becomes wisdom, all right? So can you see the problem here? If you don't spend time in the Word, how can you know when to apply the Word in your decision-making? I know it's very simple, but it's a big truth for me, that you have to study the Word of God and you have to apply it. And in this scripture, what I find very valuable is that it's basically saying merely taking in and retaining information is not meant to be the end process, right? Acquiring knowledge, especially the knowledge of God's commands here in this Word, is good, and it should be done. But if we want to live a good life that honors God, you're going to have to apply the Word of God. And that's, of course, very valuable. In Daniel 2, there's this story where we learn that Nebuchadnezzar had this dream. You know that story? And he had a troubling dream, and apparently he couldn't remember this dream. So what he does is, just a little background, they were into magic, all right? And they built all these great observatories to chart the progress of the stars, and they believed in magicians and black magic and all these kind of things. And so he called on his astrologist to advise him, and you know what he asked of him? He says to him, listen, can you tell me the dream? He didn't say interpret the dream. He says, can you tell me what I dreamt? How many of you know that that's unfair? Okay, so he wants him to read his mind, and on top of it, interpret it. So that was a very, very tough call. So these guys go through and fro, and they said to him, but king, that's unfair. We don't know how to do this. This is not possible. This is not what we do. He says, well, all these years, what have you been doing? You've been lying to me. I've been taking advice from you, and where did you get it from? All that to say, he gives a decree, and he says, all wise men, you are clearly phonies. Go out, and he gives this instruction to get them all killed. Okay? So you know that Daniel and his three friends are also advisors to the king at this point. All right? So this guy who was instructed to kill them comes to Daniel, and he says, well, I'm here to kill you. And Daniel says, listen, hold on. What's going on here? Now, I just want to I want to point out something that he does. And look what this guy does. The Bible says Daniel speaks to that commander who was sent to kill him with wisdom and with tact. All right? Sometimes when we have to make decisions and we are in a crisis, this was a dead man walking right here, and we have to make decisions and we don't know how to go about it, we can get all obnoxious and a little crazy and we get all weird and all that type of thing. Look what this guy does. He applies wisdom and tact as he communicates to this commander. So wisdom and tact are always good. We shouldn't overreact. We should treat people well, and especially if we don't know what's going on yet. Second thing he does, he goes to the king himself and he tells the king, I need more time to interpret this dream. Okay, so sometimes when we have to make decisions and we're in a rush, we want to make harsh decisions, we make a big mistake, we should take some time out sometimes and just step aside and pray about it. Okay? The second thing, the third thing he does, he gathers his friends together. He gathers them and they pray. He gets the support of the believers. If we are in a difficult time, we don't know what to do, we don't know where to go, the crisis is a little hard, this guy's proven to us that we should pray in every situation that is a little difficult for us to handle. You see, the Word of God carries the power to change any situation in our lives. I think we get so comfortable with what feels good. We get comfortable with what we want to do and what's important to us, that we forget that God is asking of us sometimes to listen to him, to follow certain things that he's put in place for us. If we put the Word of God in our lives, we apply it, that rock that we build on and the decisions that we make, even in a time of crisis, we can overcome it because of the power of the Holy Spirit and that is put inside of you. The Bible says that we are new creations in Christ, amen? And when that happens, we get the down payment of the Holy Spirit inside of us to guide and lead us. And when we need to make decisions and choose those scriptures to put in place and say, Lord, I'm quoting scripture now. You can quote scripture, but it has nothing to do with what's happening now. Are you applying it? Are you making good decisions? A part here that I want to point out as I want to close, in Proverbs, it talks about walking blameless. And I said to the Lord, yeah, it's hard, but you know what it means to walk blameless? A blameless person is someone whose life exhibits integrity. Okay, there's so much in there. Who guards against evil thoughts and behavior, does not use words to tear down others. I think Daniel was so calm and so tactful. Does not collaborate with ungodly or wicked people. Embraces honesty, does not seek to gain things that brings harm to others. Stop gossip. If someone comes to you, Tehillah, say, why were they so comfortable to talk to you about it? Okay, pray. Squashes pride and conceit, okay? And helps, encourages, and protects the godly. Praise people. Give people compliments and lives with integrity at home and in your private life as well. Application of the Word of God includes all of that. So we can say we know the scripture and we apply it, but there is this part of that we should also walk blameless before the Lord to get that promise that he gives us. I want to close. I want to say practicing obedience becomes the solid foundation to weather the storms, like I said. And I like Daniel's reaction to the crisis. It's interesting. He tells the king he needs more time to interpret the dream, but he knows he needs special revelation from God. And we all need that in some of the darkest times in our lives when we have to make decisions. So he quickly gathers his friends. Even as he thanks God, he realizes it's not about his own ability, but about God's gifts. And maybe sometimes God gives us abilities when we need them. You may want to serve God in some way. We all do. At least that's what we say. But you're not sure you have what it takes. But this is the fact. God has what it takes. And he will give you the ability you need to do what he wants you to do, as he's the one who's writing your story and gives life to your story. Amen.